Tennessee Titans have gotten down to business this week in more ways than one. They signed their last four picks in this year's draft to contracts, that being cornerback Jarvis Brownlee, wide receiver Jaquan Jackson, linebacker James Williams, and linebacker Jalen Harrell all got their business done ahead of this week's rookie orientation, rookie minicamp, however you want to say it. There was availability with Coach Brian Callahan, the assistant coaches, and Will Levis, among some others, this week, as the our organized team activities are underway, and Titans getting work done on the field and every other way right now. So the offseason is ramping up. An exciting time always, I guess, for people as you start to look ahead. But then, of course, there's no one other bit of business that has been accomplished in recent, or it's not officially done, I guess, at this point, but it's done. Brian Callahan has acknowledged it will be done. Wide receiver Tyler Boyd is signing with the Titans, and will add some more age and experience and production to that wide receiver room that once looked so barren. So as we start this episode of Believe in Titans, John Glennon of the Nashville Post, I am David Beauclair, of course, for the Nashville Banner. John, Tyler Boyd, how big a get, how important an addition is this for Brian Callahan? It's certainly a player he knows well.
Yeah, I think it's a great get. I think it's a great fit. It's a 1 year, $4.5 million deal. You're not breaking the bank. You're not leveraging the future or anything like that. And yeah, as you said, this is a guy who obviously has a ton of familiarity with Brian Callahan. He spent the last 8 years in Cincinnati, the last five under Brian Callahan as an offensive coordinator. In that time, 360 catches, over 4,000 yards, 21 touchdowns. So the learning curve, for Tyler Boyd is not going to be a large one. Presuming, of course, that Brian Callahan's offense here will run much like what the Bengals' offense did the last 5 years. And then, kind of flipping that over a little bit, not only is it comfortable for Tyler Boyd to come here, but what he can bring to the other wide receivers and to Will Levis, almost like a translator type deal. It's one thing to hear coach say, "I want this, and I want this, and I want this," but for one of their peers, one of their players, to say, "Yeah, this is what we did in Cincinnati. This is how I ran. This is how a couple of the other guys worked it, and this is what Joe Burrow did." I think that's going to help tremendously too. And Will Levis said, today he sounded especially eager to kind of meet and pick the brain of Tyler Boyd, because of how much Tyler Boyd knows about this offense. And after seeing a lot of tape of Tyler Boyd, kind of as Will Levis said, balling out a lot last year. So then, I mean, you throw in the fact that he's kind of a perfect complement to the other guys too. One, he's used to being kind of the third option in a powerful passing attack. So he's comfortable probably playing with DeAndre Hopkins and Calvin Ridley. He's the kind of guy, he's a slot guy. He can take advantage of what the other guys are attracting out on the outside. It's going to give him some space. So I see all kinds of positives. If there's any negative, maybe you're a little concerned that his stats dipped a little bit last year, and he's 29 years old. You start to think about things. Some of that attributed, no doubt, to Joe Burrow only playing, I think 10 games last year. Still, the numbers were not quite as good as when Joe Burrow only played 10 games a few years back. But I think overall, yeah, just a great compliment, great job by the Titans bringing him in here, and I think he's going to be a nice boost to this offense.
Yeah, I've talked about it at times during this offseason, how sometimes it's best just not to overthink it, Right. And this is an opportunity where the Titans didn't overthink it. You bring in a guy who the coach knows and trusts, who to your point, I think it's invaluable for him to gather DeAndre Hopkins and Calvin Ridley and say, look, this is what me and Chase and Higgins used to talk about when we were running this and how we looked at it. And it should make the installation of the offense go so much quicker. And now there's Ridley's a guy who can move around, and we've heard that that's going to be the case. But there's a clear, Hopkins certainly can do that. We've seen that, but there's a clear sort of, distinction here. You got Ridley, the speed guy. You've got Hopkins, the guy who's just going to make all the tough catches. You've got Boyd, the guy who operates most out of the slot. And between the three of them, they all have good size. They're all 6'1" or 6'2". Hopkins and Boyd are both more than 200 pounds. Ridley's a little leaner at 190. Between them, they've got over 1,700 career catches, 1,765 to be exact. And that kind of experience after what we've witnessed with this offense the last couple of years is invaluable. And we saw it repeatedly last year with DeAndre Hopkins sort of talking to Will Levis and saying, hey, this is how this is supposed to work. Now he's got that kind of experience everywhere he looks. And as long as it's not information overload for him at points, it should make things easier on Will Levis. One guy it certainly does not make it easier on is Treylon Burks as the first round draft pick, enters his third year in the league now. It looks like at best he is fourth on the depth chart. Brian Callahan in meeting with the media has been very positive about him, but what about Treylon Burks, John? What do you see in store for him right now?
I can't think that this is a positive indication for Burks, especially in the near future. I think it has to be a read as a sign that the new coaching staff and perhaps Rand Carthen as well, it was simply not convinced that he's an answer right now. I mean, certainly they could have said we've got two proven veteran wide receivers. That'll allow us to bring Treylon Burks along a little slower as the number three guy and still get him some options. Well, now he's one spot, below that. He's now number four at best, I would say. But frankly, I can't blame the Titans coaching staff or Rand Carthen, for kind of demoting Treylon Burks a couple of spots this offseason, because frankly, the production just hasn't been there. You're looking at He's only played in 22 of the 34 games, 49 catches over 2 seasons, for 660 yards and one touchdown. I don't blame the Titans at this point for going out and filling up some other wide receiver spots. I had thought maybe, one thing I considered, Treylon Burks actually played more in the slot at Arkansas than he did outside. So I thought maybe that, having Ridley and Hopkins outside, maybe you give Hopkins some more opportunity, or not Hopkins, you give Burks more opportunities in the slot, where like at Arkansas, you had a ton of yards after the catch. You just get those little screens or quick hitters and get all kinds of yards after the catch. Well, this kind of pushes that aside just a little bit. On the other hand, I think if there's good news at all for Treylon Burks, you have to look at the fact that the two of these three guys, DeAndre Hopkins and Tyler Boyd, are only under contract for one more year. You're gonna need more receivers at some point. He's still young in his career, so I don't think they're completely shutting the door on Treylon Burks down the line. They just want to see more, and they're not convinced that he's the number three guy at this point. But like today, you mentioned earlier, they've continually talked him up, in terms of his training, in terms of his learning, his attitude. It Sadly, it kind of brings to mind last offseason, we
Yeah.
heard a whole lot of the same situation. Treylon Burks having a great offseason. He's doing this, he's doing that, he's great condition. And, boom, injuries hit last year, and he was just not the guy. But, Brian Callahan had a good example from Tuesday's OTAs in terms of Treylon Burks. He said that, obviously they monitor how much a guy is running and what speed and so forth. So Treylon Burks in a Tuesday OTA, which is kind of their heaviest of the week, he ran almost 3,600 yards in practice and still hit a top speed of 22.6 miles per hour. So clearly there's some good conditioning going on there. And then Tyke Tolbert, when we spoke to him today too, said Treylon Burks has been great about learning. Said comes to him with a list of questions regularly. Has been learning each of the positions, which will no doubt help him as well, instead of just being kind of the X, which was more the situation last year. So, is it a demotion? Yes, obviously, it clearly is for Burks, but I don't think the door is closed on him. I still think they recognize the potential he has, and it's just a matter of getting him to figure everything out, and most of all, probably staying healthy during a year too.
Yeah, that Brian Callahan pointed out that 22.6 mile per hour that he hit at one point made him the fastest player on the field that day, which to your point, like none of this is new with Treylon Burks, right? I mean, there was never a question of whether he had the physical gifts enough to play in the NFL. He has shown at times he can have a big game. He has shown he can make a big catch in a big moment. He has shown he can turn a short catch, relatively short catch, into a long gain. What he has not shown is that he can do any of this stuff consistently. And so the truest thing that Brian Callahan has said maybe this whole offseason, and he has said it multiple times in relation to Treylon Burks, is he will get what he earns. And if he goes out and in week one plays like he did a couple years ago against the Philadelphia Eagles and keeps playing like that, then yeah, Tyler Boyd's not going to see nearly as many snaps as he thinks, and DeAndre Hopkins might not have to play 85% of the snaps on offense, that sort of thing. But until Treylon Burks does this sort of stuff week in and week out, proves he can stay healthy throughout the season. He's just a luxury at this point as a first round draft pick who is your number four wide receiver. It's not out of the realm of possibility that the Titans could trade him, I think, this at some point this offseason, and say, like the best thing if that's what they're thinking, and I don't know that's what they're thinking, but if the Titans are thinking, you know what, if we get a good offer for him, maybe, with the other three guys plus Nick Westbrook-Ikhina and Kyle Phillips, we've got enough. If we get the right offer, we'd be happy to move on from him. Maybe the best thing that happens is Treylon Burks is tremendous in the first two preseason games. And somebody who has an injury during training camp in the preseason, or has decided that they're woefully short on wide receivers, maybe you unload them at that point, and you don't play this guessing game anymore. Like, is he going to live up to all his physical gifts and the things he has shown? They've certainly given themselves that option if that is what they want to do. I mean, the good thing is they don't have to do that right now. Hell, next week, one of those other three guys could get hurt, and all of a sudden we're talking about Treylon Burks being an important part of the offense again. So Floyd Rice always used to say, you never make a decision until you absolutely have to. So right now I guess the coaching staff, the leadership group, everybody can feel good about the fact that that he's having that Treylon Burks is having another good offseason, and we'll see what comes of it somewhere down the line. In addition to new coaches and probably some new training techniques and all that sort of stuff, another difference in this offseason, according to Will Levis, is that there's sort of a different atmosphere around the team, and that there's a lot of guys who hadn't been real vocal in the past who are speaking up and trying to add energy and some life to the proceedings. And the quarterback has credited Brian Callahan and his staff with sort of allowing people to feel free to do so. Is that John, did you read that sort of as a shot at Mike Vrabel, or is that just is that just sort of, hey, this is new and fresh and exciting, and everybody's going to be excited about it?
Yeah, I don't think by any stretch that Will Levis was trying to take a shot at Mike Vrabel, but I think he was doing some comparisons there, and whether intentionally or not, the comparison made it sound like there's a much better atmosphere, among some of the players. I mean, different coaches have different demeanors, but and that doesn't necessarily mean one is successful and one is not successful. But I mean, we all got to know and be around Mike Vrabel pretty well over the years. And there were times when he was very personable, very pleasant. He was kind of a moody guy. I don't think there's much talk about that. He was also a guy that once he kind of either sort of liked you or didn't like you, there was not a lot of moving around for people that I didn't get the sense that people had that who had that label attached to them. And to me, kind of like if you're the head coach and maybe you're a little bit moody and a little bit surly, maybe that flows down to your assistants, maybe that flows down to the players as well. And again, he's certainly not the only coach who's been a surly top dog. There have been plenty over the years, but I would imagine that there probably is a little bit of a refreshing change of pace. Brian Callahan, from everything we've seen so far, is very even-tempered, even-keeled guy. And for the third time, I will say, doesn't mean that he's going to be su as successful, more successful, less. But it's probably a nice change of pace. And I think that's what Will Levis was kind of referencing. And maybe some guys that had kind of been more or less under Mike Vrabel's thumb, if you will, are feeling a little bit more at ease. And the sense I get from talking to, coaches and a few of the players so far is that there's a lot of room to talk with the coaches now. And maybe that wasn't as much the case before. And maybe just one other thing. It was interesting to hear Will Levis today, again in sort of a comparison, but not a personality comparison. He was asked about maybe some differences just in the new Brian Callahan offense, and he said, "Yeah, he said when I was talking to Brian, he said, hey, we're gonna throw the ball. We're gonna throw the ball on first down. We're gonna throw in all types of situations." And Will Levis said, "That was pretty cool. That's pretty cool to hear." And you can understand that, and that probably is probably the way a lot of Titans fans, I would imagine, thinking too. Mike Vrabel certainly had a lot of success with his style of offense in the early years, but when that offense bogged down, it was painful to watch. So, I think on both those fronts, both the personality front and the scheming front, I think Will Levis is a pretty happy guy right now.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I've said it here before that one of the great myths of the Mike Vrabel tenure is that everybody loved playing for Mike Vrabel. There were guys who absolutely loved it. And it won't be hard 10, 15 years from now to find guys who will tell you best part of my NFL career was playing for Mike Vrabel. There's no question. But he certainly had his favorites. And then there were other guys, I'm sure, who, if they heard him coming down the hall around the corner, they turned and went the other way or ducked in the restroom at some point, thinking, God, I can't deal with this guy today. And I think Vrabel liked that. I think Vrabel liked a certain amount of tension and a certain amount of unease. I think that was part of his coaching style. But I also think, and to your point about about Brian Callahan and the relaxed nature of things. And I think you had to earn Mike Vrabel's trust. Whereas I think Brian Callahan is one of those guys you have to lose his trust. You know, he's gonna he's kind of that new age. I'm gonna give everybody the benefit of the doubt. You have to prove to me at some point that you're not trustworthy, and then maybe we'll have a problem. I think that's maybe the easiest way to sort of delineate between these two guys right now. And again, you know, you made it, you said it, it's absolutely true. It's not that one's right or one's wrong. Certainly Mike Vrabel had plenty of success. And, you know, when it came to game management and things, I'm sure even the guys who weren't always comfortable with Mike Vrabel were really happy that he was on their sideline and in some of those close games. But this is, you know, this is where Brian Callahan will have to walk a fine line too, in terms of, you know, you have to be demanding enough to get guys to do the right things at the right times. And I'm talking about doing them exactly right. You know, Mike Vrabel made no bones about the fact of what he thought was exactly right. If, you know, sometimes when you're a nice guy, players can walk all over you a little bit. And you know, this is where I think Brian Callahan and having his father as who he is, you know, that'll certainly help too, where his father might be able to see some problems coming before they actually develop into some problems, and help him that way. But it certainly, you know, I would think for guys who have been around for a while, it probably is a little bit of right now, just sort of a nice exhale, like, okay, we're having fun playing football. It's not life and death with every practice rep.
Right. Yeah. And I was going to add to that sort of what you touched on about the role that Brian Callahan will have to play is that Will Levis said, you know, he's able to have more of a give and take, you know, with the head coach now. And part of that is obviously because Will Levis was a rookie last year as well. And this is his second year. But part of that, too, he says he feels much more comfortable voicing his, you know, whether it's his concerns or whether it's something that he likes, feels much more comfortable doing that with Brian Callahan. Despite the fact he said Brian Callahan clearly says, look, I'm your boss. You know, I am going to be the guy who tells you what to do, but at the same time, I want to be able to have that open relationship. So it's off to a good start after 0 games and a few practices and shorts and t-shirts. Everything's looking great so
That's right.
far.
And but there is, I mean, there is something to be said too for being that guy who sort of is an observer and having conversations. Whereas, you know, it was always fun to watch. It was a really interesting story at first, but you know, players would laugh about it, and to some degree, I think they found it interesting, but I also think they found it amusing that Mike Vrabel thought he could coach any single position on the team, and he would get in there and you know, and for all we knew, you know, for example, the offensive line coach might have been telling somebody, hey, your hands need to be here and here when you do this technique, and then Vrabel maybe gets in and says, no, your hands need to be 6 inches lower than they are, or something like, you know, I mean, there's no telling how many times something like that happened. I think you know, whereas Callahan seems like maybe it's a, hey, tell me what you're seeing, because I want this to happen. It should look like this. It's not looking like this. How do we get there? Whereas Vrabel would have, you know, just gone in, run the route, and said, this is what you're supposed to do. And I mean, there was only one way to do things. And you know, I'm assuming there's only one way to do things under Brian Callahan too, but getting there will be much different. So, I mentioned earlier that the rookie orientation is this weekend. This is when rookies get you know, sort of get the practice field to themselves and get a taste of the speed of NFL practices and all that sort of thing. Six or excuse me, seven draft picks, John. There'll be obviously a good number of undrafteds as well. Ultimately, and some guys even on tryout contracts, which has become more and more popular in recent years. Let's focus on the draft picks. Is there anybody who could or should really seize the opportunity this weekend and kind of stand out and start to carve out a role for themselves right from the get-go?
Yeah, I think the first one that comes to mind is somebody who could really either gain or lose from this first weekend is Tavondre Sweat, the Texas defensive tackle the Titans picked in the second round. Massive guy, very talented, very strong guy, a lot of potential to be a huge problem next to Jeffrey Simmons. But as we have talked about in previous episodes, there are issues. There are potential red flags with Tavondre Sweat. It's his weight loss. It's his condition, or it's his weight, I should say. It's his conditioning, and it's the off the field situations. He had the DWI as well. So if I'm Tavondre Sweat, I think, hey, this is a great opportunity for me to come in and get off on the right foot. I come in there at a weight that they have told me is something reasonable. I come in there, being able to do the kind of drills that I need to do in rookie camp. And I have my mind set in order. Nobody's going to be, seeing me out on Broadway on, Saturday night with 2/3 of the mini camp done. Because, on the other hand, if he comes in, and the weight's a problem, and the conditioning's a problem. The first thing that all Titans fans are going to start thinking of again is Treylon Burks. We discussed earlier. We all remember Treylon Burks just 2 years ago. Literally could not get through the entire first drill he had at rookie minicamp, and that it spiraled quickly from there. That this man was just not in condition to be able to play, and the allergies didn't help either. But he got off to a terrible start, and that affected him throughout the entire offseason because he had to work his way into condition. So he's a guy that can both lose or gain, I think, early on. I think, I looked at one of the later picks, in fact, a seventh round pick, James Williams, the guy picked out of Miami. He was a safety all through college, and they're transitioning him because of his physical attributes, what they think he can bring. They're moving him to linebacker. So I think this is a great opportunity for him to come in and start showing immediately that yeah, you guys are right. I do have the skill set to be a pretty good linebacker. My learning curve is not going to be great. I'm picking things up quickly. So I think it's a real good opportunity for him and maybe for another guy like Cedric Gray, similar to the linebacker. They have talked about him as being a potential three down guy, a guy who can be a play caller. So again, if he can come in and show that he's a bright guy, that he's a quick learner, he picks things up quickly. He's kind of paving the way for a big role defensively even as a rookie.
Yeah, James Williams was the guy who really kind of stuck out to me. And granted, they're not going to be in pads and they're not going to be banging into each other, but he's still going to have to show that, okay, he's willing to go and body up against offensive linemen as opposed to, playing deep in the secondary and whatnot. He's going to have to show instincts in there, moving in traffic in a way that he hasn't had to playing safety. Like those are the sorts of things, he'll be forgiven clearly if he fills the wrong gap at a certain point and or if he maybe hesitates half a step while he's trying to think through something. But there are certain basic elements of the job that he will absolutely have to show because as a seventh round pick, I mean, the team doesn't have to have a lot of patience with him if they decide at some point during the training camp or whatever, this isn't working, they'll move on from him. So that's going to be on him to show that he can do the basic elements of the job. And then you mentioned Treylon Burks' issues, and J.C. Latham's going to have to deal with this a little bit too. These first round draft picks who travel like they go to the draft. They do a lot of, I mean, some of the pre-draft travel has been eased by, the post-COVID era. There's a lot more Zooms now and things, but you've seen it from these guys high in the draft. We saw it with Corey Davis, for example. We saw it with Derek Morgan, comes to mind. First round draft picks, they have a way, if it's not the first weekend, they have a way of getting hurt, it seems like, around here in the off season, heading into training camp or within the first couple of days of training camp. So that's the other, JC Latham, obviously there's going to be the footwork things and whatnot they're going to be working on with him on the in moving from the right side of the line to the left, but I think his conditioning and that sort of thing is going to be every bit as much an issue with him, or at least worth watching with him as it is with Sweat at this point, because as we talked about, two very, very big men, and it's been warm in Nashville this week too. It's been a little unseasonably warm, so these guys are going to be a little bit tested that way. But
Of course, Texas and Alabama guys might have been used to that by now.
They
I'm
probably can handle that. You're
sure.
right. So we will see how they do. We will talk about all of that and more, I'm sure, next week. Until then, for John Glennon, John, thank you.
Thank you.